Check one, check two. Hello? Hi. I was just singing to myself. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Hi. What's happening? Okay, how are you guys today? Oh my gosh, that's the most noise I've ever heard you guys make. Let me hear it again. Woohoo! I love it. All right, let's be high energy just this once. Okay? I have a ton of content for you today. But I really, really, really want you to leave this series knowing exactly what you want to change, what you want to try, and have tools in your pocket right away. So in order to do that, I'm going to be sailing through these today. But I really want to make sure that you have this content because I want you to know how to make these changes. I don't want you to listen to the reasons why you need to make changes. I think those are clear for you, okay? So I'm going to be packing in the info. And I'm going to be trying a remote control that works. All right. Okay. So what we learned from the last part, okay, the last time I was here, is that we know that it's time to change the way that we think about change, right? We learned about our little perfect part, the holy part that's inside of us that really makes us who we are, and that if we listen to it, we're happy, and if we don't, we're not. Also, are you getting feedback? I'm sorry. It's right in my mouth. Okay. We also learned the difference between our brain, which likes to regulate things and keep things exactly the same and see sameness as safety, and our mind, which really is who we truly are, the master and commander on top of our brain that sort of regulates everything. We learned about the New Year's resolutionist mistake, right? Okay, starting at the goal, not planning, not contemplating, and thinking that our brains are going to drastically change abruptly on some magical day. We also talked about how to create motivation on your own, okay? And so there were three tips to that. Who remembers one of them? Come on, motivation comes after. Oh, mom, hit me with number two. You gotta know this. You've been to like 20 talks, Lois. I mean, geez, everybody knows you're my mom. You look exactly like me, yes? Inspiration, yeah, you don't want to confuse inspiration with motivation. That's one of the first ones. It's the little by little mentality and stop on a high note. Remember, you got to stop when the going gets good. All right. But the most important thing is to feel good. Why? Because your brain avoids things that you think are boring, hard, or lame. Okay? That's where procrastination comes in. That's a whole other talk. I'm happy to come back and talk about that, but it's a whole other talk, okay? We're going to touch on that a little bit next week. But first, our holy and perfect part. Sometimes when people talk about this, and I talk with people about this, they get really, they'll Google, like, I need to find my passion. I need to go to Europe. I need to get a backpack. I kind of like this guy, this Mark Manson guy. He's very vulgar and swears a lot, so he's kind of like me. And he talks about how little kids do this very naturally. They don't go out to the playground. They're like, am I going to like the jungle gym? I don't know. Am I going to look stupid on the swings? I'm not sure. I mean, I used to like the little thing that bounces back and forth, but one time I got hurt. They don't, right? They just go for it, okay? And if they don't like it, then they don't do it, all right? They don't have guilt. They just move on, okay? So if you were to Google it, it would say things like, what makes you smile? What makes you excited? What makes you, you know, unafraid? That's your passion. And I really could not disagree more because I think what makes you feel bad that you're not doing it is sometimes your passion. Marianne Williamson, who I love and adore and think is amazing and wonderful, and I highly recommend seeing her speak, she talks about fear being the opposite of love. You know, she's a Course in Miracles teacher, and sometimes you can find that fine line. You know, when CBS called and they're like, will you come on the show? I was like, ooh. Okay, so I had fear, right? But I was like pumped. I was like excited, you know? But when they were like at Decatur First United Methodist, when they were like, do you want to do a Bible study? I was like, oh, I don't know. That doesn't feel good. That feels good in a different way because I don't know enough about that to be able to. That doesn't excite me. That terrifies. I don't know what I would do. I'd be like, hi, what's up? Okay? So that's a different kind of fear, okay? So can you turn it around? And do you know what's in your little perfect part? Can you write something down right now that kind of gets you pumped and makes you want to try something? Now you can, and I work, you know, with clients one-on-one, and it's my job, and I do say to them, you know, when I was little, I used to love to, okay, because sometimes those things are the same. or when I was left alone as a child, I would spend a lot of time. Okay. Do you want to play in the dirt now? I like it. Let's play in the dirt. I like it. Okay. So either thing. The best time of my life was when I was doing. Okay, so you can find those things, playing Legos. Okay, you can find those things. But usually you don't really have to look for them. Really, the way that you find them is by trying them. Okay, and that's where most of us are paralyzed. So if you are searching for something to be passionate about, you have to experience passion to attract it. All right? That's why I tell my moms that are like, they just delivered. I have a lot of clients that are moms, and they'll say, oh, I feel, oh. I mean, moms, those of you who have given birth, that shower right after the baby, like, it's you know, it takes a minute to get your groove back, right? And I'll say, listen, just be hot, and then you'll get hot. Like, just be hot. Don't worry about getting hot. Just be hot. Just walk in and just be like, get your butt in those jeans, get them on. You know what I mean? And put on heels, okay? And just be hot. Just walk in like Heidi Klum. Just be like, I am hot. Okay? And then everybody's like, she's kind of hot. She just had a baby. Look how hot she is. Okay? I'm just saying, you don't think Heidi thinks she's hot? She has to. Okay? All right. So you don't know until you try it. Dancing, dating, whatever. Okay? All right. Because I know for sure that my Violet wouldn't know if she loves handstands unless she tried one, okay? And it's not like everybody's trying them, right? We're trying them all the time because I love them too. But passion is the result of action. So this is a lot like the first tip, right? Motivation comes after action. Passion comes after action. This is God talking to you, okay? If you get pumped and excited, that is a clear message. You are here to experience joy, remember? Okay, enthusiasm, en theos, I think it means with God, inspire, I think it means with God, I don't know, I'm not a Latin expert, but this is what other people say, I'm just repeating it, right? Okay, so let's try to trick it and stop letting our brain sabotage our good intentions. So we're going to be talking about retraining your brain today and some tricks on how to get the job done. If you want to be ambitious, pretend to be ambitious. Okay, I think Dale Carnegie might have said that. I'm not sure. I'm really bad at remembering who said what. Just know I probably didn't say any of this. Okay? But we know from AA, fake it till you make it. Right? Pretend you're a runner. Pretend you're a guitar player. Pretend you're a pop star. I did. Worked for me. Okay? They do these cool studies where they'll put they'll give kids like the comics, which I mean are rarely funny anyway. I read them for the first time the other day and I was still like, I don't know. But if you put a pencil in your mouth, you're more likely to think the funnies are funny because you're smiling. Okay, they have replicated this study over and over and over. They give funnies to college kids. They're all like, this is super lame. Where's my phone? And then they give them pencils and put them in their mouths. They're like, oh my gosh, family circle. I love it. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, you might want to be like, yay, carrots. That's a flashback in case you were here the first week, right? Okay, so remember, your brain doesn't know the difference between thinking about doing something or actually doing something. Now, in my practice, I use hypnotherapy because it works and it's awesome and I think it's great. We're going to do a quick little trick right here, okay? And just know I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and much like I tell my clients, I am not going to be staring at you. Because when I was getting trained in hypnotherapy, I was like, is everybody looking at me? I thought it was weird. So just so you know, I'm not going to be looking at you. I'm going to close my eyes too. Let's all take a deep breath in. And as our breath comes out, close your eyes. And what I want you to do is I want you to picture your kitchen. And if you're a mom, let your kitchen be as clean as it's ever been. Okay? See your lovely, sparkling, beautiful kitchen. And go into the refrigerator and pull out a lemon. It's perfectly ripe, remove the sticker, and get out a cutting board and a knife and begin to cut it. Maybe you cut it like you're gonna have a lemonade stand. Perhaps you cut it like a bartender. Just cut it up however you enjoy. And take a moment to breathe in your nose the lovely aroma of a lemon. Now I want you to pick up a piece of it and slowly bring it to your lips, breathe in again, and take a bite. Open your eyes. Who was able to actually experience a lemon? Did anyone's mouth water? Did anyone smell it? Your brain thinks you ate a lemon, y'all, okay? That's why the movies are fun, okay? All you have to do is think about it enough. That's why they have Olympians do this in their sleep, because thinking about it is exactly the same as doing it according to your emotional brain, this part of your brain we're trying to target into. Your body is going to it's going to buy into whatever your brain thinks. Okay? I mean, if you start to get yourself into a frenzy, like, do I leave the oven on? Do I leave the oven? I mean, your brain will start to think, well, this is very serious. We need to really think about this. Okay? So it's very important that you know what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about? We're not really paying much attention to that, right? We're just doing. We're just existing. We're moving from one thing to the next. The reason why it's really important that you examine your thoughts and change your thoughts if and when it's appropriate is because what I'm about to tell you, which is so exciting for me, so just pretend to be excited too. Okay. This is the coolest part of the talk, okay? Hang with me here. This is what's really cool. That's my mom's picture of a caveman. Isn't that awesome? I'm just saying. All right. I'm going to get into the slide in a second, but just hang with me for a second. Scientists say, not Shara D, okay? Scientists say that our brains take in 400 billion bits of information per second, okay? Billion. Just to drive home how much that is, if you had an average-sized 200-page book, you would need 600,000 books just to write down the zeros of that entire number. It's enormous, okay? That is too much for us, okay? But I do need to know that my hands are moving and I'm standing up and I'm taking a breath, and there are some things I really need to be conscious of, and there are other things I don't need to be conscious of, like digesting my food and taking care of that. So, like, there are some things I need to know and don't need to know. So what my brain is constantly doing, and yours, is narrowing down are 400 billion bits per second, okay? And narrowing it down to 2,000 measly bits. That's it. So just to kind of give you an idea, now that's still the Super Bowl. We're talking about 2,000 bits. That's a lot, right? That's a lot to take in. But it's only one half of 1/1,000,000% of what you are experiencing. What? Yeah, if I told you I was gonna give you 1/2 of 1,000,000% of your paycheck, you would have a complaint. That means that you are creating your reality, but you're only getting 1/2 of 1,000,000% of what's actually happening. How does your brain decide what to give you? It wonders what you're thinking. When I was in college, all I saw was boys and beer. Sorry, Dad. That's all I saw. My dad's here. I feel like I have to mention it. That's all I saw. I did not even notice children. Like, I didn't even know they existed. I mean, have you ever seen, like, if you have children, have you ever seen a teenager around your kids? They're like, it's like furniture. They're just trying to get around them. They don't even notice that they're there. Like, they don't even see them. It's not on their radar. It doesn't have to be, right? But what are you constantly thinking about? Are you thinking about what you want? Or are you thinking about what you don't want? Are you thinking about being fat? You thinking about being skinny? Thinking about being rich? Thinking about being poor? I'm just saying, it's time to reassess what you're thinking about. Because if I tell you right now, and I tell this to my clients all the time, go ahead and put in your phone, you know, like, I also teach a class on how to use your phone to make your life easier, because we're all walking around with a personal assistant that no one's using. You know, Siri, remind me every 3 hours, yellow butterfly, okay? You will start to see them everywhere. What you say, Sherry, it's winter. Why would I see a yellow butterfly? You will see it on a calendar, you will see it on a t-shirt, you will see it all over the place, okay? Your brain, it's a physiological thing. This is why when you're pregnant, everybody pregnant, right? You're like, oh my God, she's pregnant, everybody's pregnant, okay? Because your brain's like, all she's thinking about is being pregnant. There's a pregnant lady, I'll let that in. Oh, and she also thinks all guys are jerks. I'll let those guys, come on over, jerks, right? Whatever you're thinking about, you're creating it. Bad news sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But if you're thinking about the car you want, you're like, there it is in the color I want. That's amazing. Oh my God, I never saw it before. It's been there the whole time. It's a physiological thing. Cavemen were not thinking about starving to death, thank you. They were thinking about shelter and food, and they were boar, right? They would see what they needed. And your brain is actively looking for what you're thinking about. So when my clients come in and I say to them for the first time, what do you want? They usually tell me what they don't want. We got a nice handle on what we don't want, right? We're like, I don't want to live in Florida. And I'm like, well, where do you want to live? Not Florida. Do you know what they're saying? Florida, everywhere. That's all they say is Florida. They're obsessed with Florida. Their brain's like, more Florida, more Florida. Because we're going to talk about next week, your brain thinks in pictures. So even if you have like Florida with a big X through it, your brain doesn't, it doesn't compute. It thinks in pictures because when you were a baby, it's not like babies can't think. They just think in pictures instead of language, okay? So you need to be really, like, you can't think like no cavities, right? You got to think perfectly healthy teeth. When you get pulled over, you need to think perfect driving record, not no ticket, because your brain's going to go, oh, a ticket? You want a ticket? I'll say something real stupid. He'll give you a ticket. 1 second. I'll make sure you say something dumb. Okay? Your brain is totally on the up and up. It's got 400 billion bits on you. Okay? You don't even know what it's doing. So you need to be real careful about what you're thinking about. I'm thinking about the Powerball. I'm thinking about a perfectly healthy chin when my kid falls off the thing, right? What are you thinking about? All right. You guys with me? Okay, good. Your brain loves to be right, okay? So when we do have an idea of what we want, sometimes they start to be shoulds. Well, I should do this. I should do that. Remember we talked about that. Don't should on yourself, okay? And so what I'll tell my clients, in order to twist it, it's stop thinking about what you don't want and think about what you want. I tell them, list 20 things you want to be, 20 things you want to have, 20 things be, have, and do. Okay? And it doesn't have to be world peace, right? It could be, you know, your favorite chapstick or whatever, right? But it'll twist your mind to start to think about what you want, not what you don't want, okay? You could also write, I don't want to live in Florida. Where does that mean I want to live? You can put it on the other side of the paper. And just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not good. Beatles songs are simple, y'all. Real simple. They're on four tracks. If I can play them on the guitar, anybody can, okay? Just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's not good, all right? Okay. It's not hopeless. So let's learn how to trick your brain when we can. Okay, so most often, you are creating your stress. Sorry, most often you are. Now, we all have big T traumas, or little T traumas, like my mom told me, you know, that I was, she didn't, my mom's right here, she's a sweetheart, but some people might say, my mom told me I was bad at math every single day, 20 times a day. I'm really bad at math. Okay, so you might, that might not be able to be, I mean, you're gonna have to really get that teeter-totter, you're gonna have to think that thought, I'm good at math. If you get a job like as a tax guy or something, I mean, you're gonna have to work on good at math, okay? You're gonna have to work on that. But I'm talking about what you can change, and you can change that with your thoughts. But stress isn't often real when we're talking about the behaviors that we want. So like here, you couldn't fill up this bucket full of stress, right? You'd have to think it. You create it here. But if you think that I'm not doing what I should be doing, that creates stress. If you think I really wish I was doing this one thing, that creates stress, okay? So we have to think about what we're thinking about and how we think about it. So we're gonna go over some thoughts that consistently make us feel bad and see if you guys can become cognizant of them enough to eliminate them or change them and feel a little bit good. Here's a big dog. These are not my kids. This is my friend Christy's kids, but I love this picture. I think it's awesome. Okay, so Georgia got a violin. Fiona did not, okay? This is usually how we roll. She's doing better than me. I'm doing better than them. It's like we have to fit in somewhere in order to make ourselves feel well. But like we talked about before, true confidence comes when you can realize that you're exactly the same as everybody else, right? Like, we're all children of God, we're all holy and divine creators and creations, and when you realize that you can just go ahead and be yourself, confidence is a piece of cake. You're like, I'm just going to be me, and that's cool, right? So you can ask yourself, too, I mean, do you guys really think Fiona knows if she wants a violin? I mean, she probably doesn't know how hard it's going to be, right? So you have to ask yourself, do I want this because someone else has it? Do I want it because it's the right thing to do? Like, should I learn how to bake cookies because that's what moms do? Please say no. I don't want to do that at all. All right? There's that. What I tell my clients is when they see someone's amazing kitchen and they're looking at their kitchen, I say, you know, good for her. Good for her. Because the more abundance and love that you give out, you start to get it. And then someone magically comes in and maybe you're married to that person and they say, let's change the kitchen. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe you can get your brain to create some things for you, Okay? And are they manifesting its shoulds? I should change my kitchen. My kitchen's not as good as her kitchen. It should be better. I should have a nice kitchen. I should, right? And those always feel bad. This is my daughter, how she is with bikes. I took this picture. It was kind of mean mom picture, but I wanted to illustrate how much she really hates it. I put on the helmet. I bring out the bike. This is what happens every time, okay? She doesn't want to ride bikes, okay? Should all children learn how to ride a bike? Should we make her ride this bike? Do you guys feel an overwhelming urge to make her learn how? No, you're like, just like, let it go, right? Do you do that for you? When someone says, you need to be the, you know, on top of this team, you need to be the leader, you need to volunteer at the school, you need to do this Bible study at church, right? Right. Okay, are you as nice to you as you are to my Violet right here? Why is it okay for her to bail on the bike riding but not you? What's the difference?
Nothing.
No difference. There's no difference. Okay. This is what we're going to do instead. I want you to raise your right hand, and we're going to do this. I promise I will not shoot on myself or anyone else. And when I do, I will correct myself. Okay, ready? So it's going to be this instead. I am working on liking Pilates. I would love to start standing on my head for 20 minutes. And my favorite is, wouldn't it be nice if, aren't those lighter? Don't they feel so much less than I should do this thing? Okay? So I want you to switch it. Just thinking that it's hard can make your thoughts really turn from good to bad. So we know from cognitive psych that if you think something enough that you believe it, right? That's why people drink the Kool-Aid, that's why I think this way. I mean, if you think something enough, true or bad, I mean, I'm bad at math, whatever, okay? You're gonna believe it. Because our beliefs are simply something that we've thought over and over. So I'm gonna give you a new mantra. Here it is, ready? Let's do it together. It's easy and I like it. Ready? Okay, so here comes my story about this. I've been doing this talk for a long time. It's easy and I like it. This is a tattoo, by the way. I will give you one if you want it. My kids are giving me like Dora the Explorer. I'm like, this is useless. I need like a nice motivational message or something nice here. I mean, green eggs and ham? Okay, so I do have ones that say it's easy and I like it. But after I'd given this talk a bajillion times, I used to hate doing my taxes. I was married, I owned a house, I had my own little therapy business. I was touring with a band. I had to keep every little receipt every time I wore a skirt that looked like a belt or like if I got a Coke on the road. I had to keep all these receipts. There was like 80 trillion receipts, right? And I hated doing my taxes. I mean, hated it. I had to get it. My mom would watch the kids. It took me all day. I was getting them ready for someone else. I wasn't even doing them, right? Dreaded it, hated it. My mom says, you know that thing like it's easy and I like it? You should try that with your taxes. And I was like, oh, mom, that's for other people. It's not for me. Okay, so I worked on that. And I worked on that. And you know what? I really do like doing my taxes now. It's so fun. I'm from Detroit. I know I seem really Southern. But I would put on, like, these headphones, and I would listen to filthy comics, like really filthy, bad, like bad words comics. And I would listen to it. And I can't listen to that with my kids around. And I would do my taxes, and I would take the whole day off. And then I started breaking it up, and I was like, maybe I have a couple days off, you know? And I was, like, really kind of enjoying it. Because I was saying it's easy and I like it. And I know it sounds super cheesy because I did this 6-week thing at the Decatur first. And this girl came up and she's like, at first I was like, this girl's totally cheesy and I hate it's easy and I like it and that's so dumb and I never heard anything so dumb. But on the 6-week, it's kind of easy and I kind of like it. So I'm just saying, what if it works? You know what I mean? So let's try it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. And we do have a tendency to blow things out of proportion. Right? Andrew, you weren't home for me to ask you if I could use this slide. He would have said no. But ask yourself, in the grand scheme of things, does this really matter? I mean, let this be my biggest problem, okay? I do cuss a little, sometimes, okay? But I mean, I was in Savannah over the weekend. I went to a spa. It was lovely. I highly recommend it. But it was snowing, and it hadn't snowed in Savannah in 10 years. So there were all these like teenagers and 20-somethings like looking out the window like, oh my God. I mean, they're taking pictures and freaking out. And I'm from Detroit. I'm like, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't. I thought it was cool too. It was with palm trees and snow. I thought it was neat. And I just drove like 5 hours to get down there, and I'm waiting in line, and this little old man comes up and just like cuts in front of me, okay? And it was a long line to wait to check in, and this guy cuts in front of me. I was next, right? And the guy behind me says, "Are you gonna say something? Are you gonna do something about that?" And I was like, "Oh, well, let this be my biggest problem. I'm cool with it." And he's like, "Well, I'm not." And he got this way. And I said, "Well, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I've been driving a long time. I hope you don't mind standing a bit longer." And he says, "All my problems are small ones." And I was like, "Wow, good for you. Me too. Right now, all my problems are small ones. That's so cool. Aren't you like happy about that?" And he was like, "No, this is my problem. That guy cut in front of us, and this is her," and he starts swearing and getting upset. And everyone should, he should on me. He did. He said, "Everyone should be happy with the way I want things to be, and I'm gonna be." I mean, like, he was really super cranky. You know what I mean? And I was like, "Wow, I wish that guy hadn't cut in front of me just so I don't have to hang out with you." No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But our brain's favorite excuse is time, on a side note. It uses it, it knows you value it, it's gonna use time all the time. We don't have time for that. No time. Mm-mm. Won't have time for that. Mm-mm. No time for that. No time. Mm-mm. Knows that we really value that. So it will blow it out of proportion a lot. But I just want you to think about, you know, like the next time your Christmas lights are tangled up, or the next time that you lose your luggage, let this be your biggest problem, right? Let's keep it, who cares, okay? I think Jesus loves me even though I cuss a little, okay? Maybe I should get that t-shirt. Side note, I do want this t-shirt. Andrew, birthday present. Okay. So let's talk about time. No magical time slot opened up January 1st, did it? Even though for like 3 months you were like, "Oh, let's do that after the holidays. Let's do that." Like, there's no magical time slot. If there was, you would be in Puerto Rico, right? You wouldn't like organize your wedding pictures or whatever, right? You would be doing something fun. You would get gone, okay? But I want you to consider that the future is not necessarily better than now. That's what our egos do. This is ego psychology. So I'll just give you like a run through. All you have is right now. What happened is gone. It's based on your memory of it, which is probably totally delusional because it was only 0.5% of 1,000,000% of the reality anyway. And what's going to happen is based on what happened. The only reason you're going to be able to walk to your car is because you parked there before, right? But something could happen. And we might not walk to our cars. Maybe we will walk to a chariot with a horse. I have no idea. All I'm saying is, all you have is now. And how much time are you spending here? We are all busy. None of my clients are allowed to answer, "I'm busy." How you doing, busy? Lame. Okay, we can all get busy, okay? Because we all know someone, mom and dad, and his name begins with an S, and maybe it's my brother, who says, "I am so busy. You don't understand, I'm so busy. Did you see Shark Tank last night?" I'm like, "Wow, I thought you were so busy." He's constantly telling, we're busy with what we want to be busy with. Everybody can get busy. You can get busy immediately. Right now, I'm busy. Here's me. I'm busy. Busy. I can be busy. Okay? So don't answer busy. Nobody wants to hear that anyway. Okay? People really want to hear how you are. And I like, do you guys ever read Anne Lamott? She's so funny. And she says, like, if you weren't happy with yourself at, you know, 158, you're not going to be happy with yourself at 135 or whatever you want to weigh. She's like, just be happy with yourself now. You know, and there is the reality that we all weighed around 6 or 7, or if you're my kids, 9 pounds at one point, right? I mean, you're never going to be 9 pounds again. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not happening. Okay, and you can look for your 20-year-old body, you ain't going to find it. Okay, because you're in the body you're in now, which is perfect. Okay, like somebody in LA decided it's not perfect. Not us. Not us. This gets us in the when-then trap. When she walks, I'll be happy. When she goes to school, I'll be happy. When she drives, I'll be happy. When she goes to college, I'll be happy. Oh my God, I missed the whole thing. Okay, I don't want you guys to be in the when-then trap. I want you to be right now. And it's actually quite fun. Like yesterday, Violet had her arm on me, and she's 4, so she still has like that baby. I want to like put butter on it and salt and pepper and like eat it. And I was like, oh my gosh, her arm is so scrumptious. I'm just gonna be right here. Because here's the bottom line. Our amygdalas, our brains are wired up to remember horrible stuff that happens to you in very vivid detail, okay? And completely ignore, oh, when she walked first, I'm not sure, it was around Easter, I don't know. When she was born, I mean, yeah, I was happy. You don't know. If you don't hardwire your own happiness, you ain't gonna get it. So yesterday, when the puppy was jumping all over me and, like, chewing up the blood pressure cuff and Violet was giving me surgery, I was really trying to just, like, be with it because it was really funny. I mean, like, everything she picked up, the puppy took and ran over and put it in his bed, and then she picked up something else and he ran over and put it in his bed, and she was kind of crying, but I was kind of laughing, and I think I might remember that. You know what I mean? Like, it was a really good, funny moment. And here's the thing, I will just give you this, I'm gonna give you a prescription. You guys are, you're the luckiest people here. All these people who aren't here don't know that we're having fun, right? Here's the good news. You already are perfect. You don't have to try to be perfect because you already are perfect. All the pressure's off, okay? You're exactly the way that you're supposed to be right now. Isn't that like kind of a load off? Even if you only believe it for like 1 second and then you like flip off into I can't help it, my ego's so stuck in this other place. Just try thinking it just a couple times a day, like I am perfect right now. Okay, I'm hot right now, I'm hiding through right now. Okay, you gotta fake it till you make it. You are beautiful, organized, awesome, on top of things, not after that vacation, not after you lose 10 pounds, right now, you're perfect. And don't you think that's kind of, I can talk about God, remember I'm at the church, right? So like, I would think that God thinks you're pretty perfect. That's the way he made you. You're doing great. You're just trying to make your life a little bit better than it used to be. You're trying to figure out who you are by getting those things into your life with regularity. Okay? And aren't we supposed to have a little faith that it's all going down the way it's supposed to go down anyway? Isn't that what it's all about, being a Christian? I don't know, because I don't know much about that. But I do know. Well, here's the thing. At first I thought, this is what Viola wrote. She wrote, hope in the unknown, and then she wrote her name under it. And I was having a moment of thinking, oh my gosh, my daughter is like channeling a profound old spirit from a past life. And then I was like, oh, she's just copying my t-shirt. It was on my t-shirt. You guys can laugh, that's a joke. Don't you think that's funny? I was like, oh my gosh, she's so smart. And then I was like, oh, I'm not, right? Okay. We all know somebody who's like, you know, if things don't go my way, I'm gonna be cranky, like this guy in line or whatever. Is it possible that things are going your way? That you just, they're just not going the way that you thought it would? Do you ever hear yourself say, oh my gosh, that was the worst? But it's really good that happened actually, because then, do you know what I'm saying? People who are wildly successful say things like, oh my God, and then I met her, and then it just fell into place, and then, oh, and then this happened, and then I got fired. I once got a fax on Friday that said, we're not open on Monday. Okay, and I wasn't married, I had nothing. I was like, what? And that was perfect, because I opened my own practice. Does this mean perhaps that disappointment might be a little waste of time? That maybe part of being a Christian is having a little faith? That things are going exactly the way that they're supposed to be going, and maybe we're in charge of what we want in our lives, and God is in charge of how. That if you don't see how it's gonna happen, that's actually perfect, because you're part of this big, huge matrix that you can't see anyway, and everything's actually working out exactly how it's supposed to, and that you're feeling sad for maybe sometimes no good reason. That maybe you can hang up and be like, wow, I just got something that would normally be interpreted as bad news, but maybe this means something great is happening. The first time I did that with my husband, he was like, wow, you've really grown. That's pretty huge. I can't believe it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a nervous wreck. It's my first time. I'm just saying, just go ahead and like maybe have a little faith in that, okay? I was really, really, really sick and in the hospital for 2 weeks. And it was long and it was horrible for other people because I wasn't really awake for it. And when I did have moments of clarity, I can remember thinking, I know with 100% certainty that I'm gonna be fine. I wish I could just tell my mom that, because she looks so sad. And my band members had come, and it was really, like, really strange because they were so upset. And I can remember thinking, I'm gonna be fine. And, like, actually, that experience that was probably horrible for my mom, especially because, you know, I'm her daughter, and she was there every day. That it was like one of the best things that ever happened. like during those 2 weeks, I got closer to my now husband than I think would have been possible. That I like have a different lifestyle because of it, that I had to pay attention to my mortality. And that if you know somebody who's gone through something like this, they're always like, oh, it's great. My friend Mary Ellen, who was really, really sick with cancer and picking out a wig for her wedding, was like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing. I mean, I've never appreciated my husband. I mean, like, it's all in the way that you think about it. Can you challenge yourself to be happy anyway? Happiness doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. I know that sounds cheesy, but like happiness is the way. You have to decide to be happy anyway, okay? And I think my daughter kind of nailed it out of the mouths of babes. Look at this. She says, see, these guys are all twisted up. This guy and this guy are upset, but this guy's happy anyway. I was like, oh, I'm making a slide out of this. This is right on the money, right? And little kids know just how to live. It's like we just forgot. All you got to do is get right back in touch, right? So how do we get into the now? I like Eckhart Tolle's way. He says, just ask yourself, am I still breathing? In order to ask yourself that, you have to be right now. Oh, not to ask, to answer. Yes, yes, I am still breathing. I'm breathing, okay? And rather than go to, but I'm breathing too long, I'm breathing too short, I'm not breathing well enough. Like, just, are you breathing? Yes or no? What? You're right here. You're right with me. We're together right now. Because this is all you have. This is all that's real. And when you're really still, when you're really quiet, I don't know, be still and know that I am God, the joy just kind of bubbles up. Because you're not stuck in the future or panicked about what's going to happen or fretting about what did happen. Do you need some assistance? You can remember this. I'm pretty sure, I don't know, Susan can correct me, that Jesus didn't say, ask, have a panic attack, tell all your friends about it, make sure that you totally quit your job first, inquire with everyone else, and then receive, right? He didn't. It takes a little bit of faith. I do know this. Visualizing, believing, and faith is a part of the asking part. Visualizing, believing, and faith. Acting as if. This is my magical day when I got a billboard. You might see it on Claremont Road. It's mine. Okay? I have been thinking about it and dreaming about it and seeing it in my head for like, I don't know, Andrew, how long? Like 15 years? It was a magical day. I was beside myself. I mean, I almost wet my pants. I was so excited. Here's me. With my billboard, now I will tell you this, I did think my billboard was gonna come in the form of me with three other band members. I thought it was gonna be for my band, right? This is so much better, right? This is my little teensy business that I made. There it is, it's my billboard. For me, it's so exciting. But I had to think about it and think about it and think about it and dream about it and be like, one day I want a billboard. And my man was like, here's your billboard. I was like, oh my God, I done it. I mean, it's really exciting, okay? All right. So I just want you guys to ponder this over. It's all in the way that you think about it. If you change the way you think about things, the things that you think about will change. This is the recently passed Wayne Dyer. He said that. You just have to make the decision to change the way that you think. There's this book by, I think her name's Anita Morjani. It's called Dying to Be Me. And it's a horrific story of her bout of cancer, and she was absolutely unsavable, and of course, she's perfectly fine and healthy now, and she lived to write this book about it. And she describes being in this heavenly place as like walking around. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, I'm going to put my sherry on it. I'm going to give it a little bit more color. Because can you imagine what the Amazon warehouse is like? And don't say there's a million of it, because that'll ruin it for me. But I mean, you can really say, like, you can get tires. And you can get blue nail polish. What's up with that? I mean, how big is that warehouse, right? So Anita says it's like walking around with a pen light at the Amazon warehouse. And like all you really can see is blue nail polish, especially if you're thinking about blue nail polish, right? But you could get stuck in the aisle and only see just these few things. And that when she died for that moment and passed into this glorious place, it was like someone turned on all the lights and she saw everything. And it all made perfect, beautiful, and wonderful sense. I'm just saying, let's get out of the blue nail polish aisle, okay? Let's start thinking about what we want, because things change when you start thinking differently. They really sincerely do. Here's proof. I have proof. Here's Violet, thumbs up on a mic, okay? So she learned how to do both things. But I want you to allow a little bit. I want you to allow God to bring you things. Okay? It's not a bunch of hard work. Think about it, how you would like, how. Think about exactly what you want. Visualize it. See your billboard. I thought you that I thought our purpose was to experience joy. And it's your job to find out what does it for you. But the most important thing I want you to remember, do I have audio or not? No. All right, well then you're going to have to come next week to know the most important thing. Because I got no audio. All right, there's that. Do I have it or not? All right, no. So, there. Huh. Well, I can put my microphone up here. Let's see if I can do that.
Owen. Are you precious?
I'm precious.
Are you perfect?
I'm precious.
Did you hear it? Okay. He says it, he's almost like blasé. He's like, I'm precious, I'm perfect, whatever. He's not like, well, I made a mistake yesterday and I probably could have done that. I don't know about that. Is he so different than us? No, he's not, okay? Your thoughts, what you do, whatever, whoops, I just missed my slide. Wait, okay. You are not your thoughts. You are not what you do. You're not what other people think you are. You have no control over that, right? You are wonderful and perfect exactly the way that you are. You are a holy and divine creation that's here to create. You can do it. You can try it. Try tomorrow. Be like, free cup of coffee, free cup of coffee, free cup of coffee, free cup of coffee. Coming at me. Good parking spot. Start wherever you want to start. Okay? If you have to start small, all right? But you are already perfect. So be who you want to be. Do what you want to do. That's where passion comes from, when you do it, when you be it. Okay? And be the rock star that you already are. And here we go. One more time. 17 months old. My boy's got the answer to life's everything. Ready?
Owen, are you precious?
I'm precious.
Are you perfect?
Okay, so next week, I'm going to talk about willpower, procrastination, a little bit of meditation, perfectionism, the emotional brain versus logical brain, and I'm going to give you a habit tracker so you can start tracking the habits that you want. I love you, and thank you for having me here. God bless.
To me.
Aw, man. Why doesn't it work? Mommy.
I like it.
Why doesn't it work?
All gone.
Why doesn't it work?
Because he muted it for me.
I like it.
I'm so glad.
She did good, didn't she?
Yeah.
She did good. That's all I'm going to teach you. The door is in here.
Yeah, just anyway. Who cares? I'm going to be happy anyway.
I went home and put it on the refrigerator.
I love it. Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad you did.
That's awesome.
Okay, so next week I am going to have audio.
Okay.
Like a lot.
Oh, we'll work on that.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't know the video was actually in here.
But it came out, didn't it?
Yeah. Okay. You can hear it. I'm just saying, I could have played the video audio back here.
Oh, right.
But the slide was playing. I didn't know there was a video there.
Oh.
Apparently there's a little button you can press to make things
right, yeah, the
show
button.
Up.
Or you can go to the next slide. It's like two slides, one with audio, one without.
Well, I mean, the presentation wasn't running. Either way. Sorry.
Oh.